You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Don't have headphones? I got you.
All right, sir.
I'll get you one. Hey, just use mine.
I can't hear anything you're saying, but it's a legitimate excuse. Why I'm a minute later than I usually am, and we're always on not till like six or seven after. But I was in the back completely. Are you going to get a headset? Because I'm going to want you to contribute here. We got to wait for Nick to get a headset. He's in his defense now. He's leaving the studio, but he must because I'm stealing his faulty headset. I will get my good headset at the first commercial break. We're all looking forward to that. Okay, so for starters. So many places to start here, and really substantive stuff to get to. College football, again, showing its I got to be careful how I speak. It's just – it infuriates me with its – the way it does business, nonetheless. So I'm distracted because Dawn got another tattoo, a big-ass tattoo. Did you see this tattoo? Did you see it?
Oh, the one on her face?
No, very funny. It's not, you saw the one, right?
No.
You didn't see her new tattoo?
No.
All the way up her arm, from her wrist like up to her elbow.
Oh, cool.
Not a big, and there's a couple things that what's troubling. One, I don't like tattoos. It's just my taste. I know I'm in the minority because everybody's getting them, everybody has them, so don't yell at me. It's just a matter of taste. It's like yelling at somebody because they don't like orange soda. They like what you like. But the thing is, I found it because when I brought it up, I heard Sweeney yell from the back, oh, wait till Locke sees it. Locke doesn't like tattoos, right? It's frightening how many similarities there are between he and I. I mean, it's really scary.
Having done both of your guys' shows?
And I'm not happy about that. I mean, it's really frightening to me.
You guys have a lot. I think you guys have more in common than you guys
have. We're both married
to
Italian girls.
Mm-hmm.
I bet more than 5 cents, though, on each game. Which probably is not a good thing, necessarily.
Right. He's skinnier than you, so there, you know.
Why'd you have to go there?
Because I felt like
I'm working on it with. I have more hair than he does, so bite that.
Yeah, there you go. See?
Get all snippy with me. But so I'm so distracted, I put the coffee thing in. And all I know, since Worldwide's left, the Tyler Mountain coffee thing has just gone to crap because it was obviously Worldwide's baby because you're not only having the coffee and tea, but his favorite, hot chocolate. So I tried to put the little K-cup in, still lamenting that Dawn has besmirched her arm the way she has. And the thing comes out in 10 different streams. It's going all over.
Was that why crap was everywhere? Because I went back there. I wasn't trying to be a wise
ass. No, exactly. So
I was like, you spilled a little bit.
So I said, no, I didn't spill. So it was like, all right, well, I took the cup out. And she's, of course, everybody's den mother here. So she comes and cleans everything up and blah, blah, blah. And then I take the cup and I'm listening to Patty Ice talking with Cooper about, I don't know who he went to see, I don't know the guy's name, but his favorite country artist, and he had a concert, and Patty Ice was thrilled about it, and Coop was asking him questions, and I was about to also participate in the conversation. I took a sip of the cup, not realizing that by the thing spewing the way it did, it spilled all the grounds into the cup. It was like getting a mouthful of oatmeal. I'm still pulling grounds out of,
Ew.
Yeah. So that was not good. So I had to go back, clean up the mess I made. I threw that out. Cooper finally stopped laughing. He's laughed for like 5 solid minutes because he was standing there when I took the sip. And I basically just fired it into the garbage and spat it in there. And then I had to get a new coffee because you certainly can't come on the air without a beverage or you'll start coughing and people will have issues. So that's why I'm a minute later. Yeah. So you were screaming and I was screaming.
I was actually remarkably calm. Also, if it makes you feel any better, I butchered a SportsCenter during that.
Attaboy.
Because I mislabeled my SportsCenter clip, so I pulled it up, and I was played a 1 minute and 45 second discussion from Scott Ramsey, the Music City Bowl CEO, talking about the process in which they picked U of L and why they're very excited about that. So that was not the soundbite I wanted, referring to the cowbells. So, yeah, started that bad boy off. So, yeah, we're off to a flying start.
Well, two conversations. One thing, I certainly didn't know how to pronounce Playmobil, the Playmobil movie. Seriously? Come on. I mean, as you would say, come on. I mean, A, it's a great toy. B, he has children. And C, it's a great toy.
I got to be honest. I wanted to make fun of him, but then I took a step back. And if you've never played with Playmobil, it's pronounced Playmobil.
I've never used nitroglycerin. I can say it.
Yeah, but that...
That's okay. No, that's true. I mean, the thing that I will get off of you, just wondering what the hell we're talking about. Playmobil evidently was the lowest grossing movie per screen maybe in history. And obviously, the reason that the theaters are concerned is because they thought they could piggyback coattail on the Lego movies, which are spectacular. And Playmobil is the same church, different pew as Lego. So they said, we'll bust one of those out. And I guess nobody went to see it, which all the more reason makes me want to go see it, because unless it's really that bad.
I got to be honest.
How would you know it's bad?
I don't, because occasionally if you watch the trailer and it's just flat and you're just like, this is the sizzle reel. This is the best. This is the best. You're trying to bring me in with this?
Okay.
Oh. You know what I think they messed up on?
What's that?
I'm serious. The animation on how they run. If you play Playmobil, the legs don't move. All you can do is bend them so that they can sit down and stand up. Legos, the little men, the little people, they can move their feet so that they kind of look like they're walking or running. I'm dead serious. So if you've ever played with Playmobil and you've had them run, you do that little army man waddle thing. If they had made them run like that in the movie, it would have given it a more feel like you're playing with them. I'm serious, because when I was watching it, I saw the lead. They have Daniel Radcliffe. They have freaking Harry Potter as the lead.
In the Playmobil movie?
In the Playmobil movie.
Wow, that's
surprising. He jumps out of a car. He's like an action debonair spy guy.
His little character does.
Yeah, his little character. He's like the spy Playmobil or whatever. And his legs start moving like he's running, and I audibly went, what the blank is this?
Okay. Well, then that makes sense. All right, let's get to this.
It was doomed from the start.
I've dreaded doing this because I don't really want to. It's happy time. It's the holidays. Louisville got a bowl bid. It's exciting, exciting stuff. Kentucky salvaged a season where now they're churning out yardage. They got a bowl bid. Indiana has had one of their best seasons. Western's going to a bowl too, aren't they? Didn't Western get a bid? I thought they did.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, that's pretty good stuff. That's pretty tall cotton here. And yet, they teased us with things that, if we're going to be completely objective, are way better than what we ultimately got. Louisville was going to get Tennessee in Nashville. Fantastic. Kentucky and Indiana? Oh, my God. I don't know if you're a U of L fan or whatever. You've got to be objective as a fan. What a matchup. How fantastic that is. And Philip Fulmer, I guess, right? I don't know. So from somebody's going to remember, you don't know what happened. No, I don't know what happened. More importantly, I don't really care what happened. It's just another indication of how messed up football is. The whole damn thing is messed up, and they give you this garbage on a plate, and you're supposed to spit it back and say how good it is. Who the hell? I'm not playing there. Why? Because it's football, and I can do that. Because I swing a bigger stick than you, and so I can bash you around, and that's what football's all about. Who gets to have the biggest stick? That's all they spend all their time doing. Position yourself
in leagues to get the biggest stick, position yourself with TV contracts for the biggest stick. Who gives a damn if it makes any sense for your fans? Who gives a damn if it makes any sense just logically? Put Rutgers in the Big Ten, for God's sake. Just do whatever you can to swing the biggest stick. And this is an example. I guess Philip Fulmer wanted to swing a big stick here and push back to the SEC and say, we're not going. And so I said, oh, great, okay, so we'll change everything and take two games away that were way better for the teams involved to accommodate you and then throw this pablum on a plate and give Louisville freaking Mississippi State again. I'm so sick of Mississippi State. Nothing against Mississippi State. I'm sure there are fine folks down there. I can sing the spell of Mississippi thanks to the Disney song, okay? That's a big, big moment in my life. M-I-S-S-I-S. S-I-P-P-I. All right, so, I mean, that's fantastic. But there's no reason to play them again. I'm sorry. Don't tell me, about, oh, it's a revenge game. It's nowhere near as cool as playing Tennessee in the state of Tennessee in Nashville. Sorry. And I'm sorry. I'm just telling you objectively as a fan, I saw the Kentucky-Indiana matchup, and I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty good. And now Indiana gets Tennessee, right? Isn't that how it played out? And then Louisville gets Mississippi effing state again. That's what they should be changed their name to around here, the Mississippi effing state. And then you know, and people are trying to make a big deal. Oh, Kentucky played Virginia Tech in the first game at Commonwealth Stadium. Oh, please. Kentucky and Virginia Tech as opposed to Kentucky and Indiana. Really? Around here? I've lived here long enough to know which has more juice. So it's just, why? Because somebody at Tennessee got a bug up their ass that they don't want to play there, and so everybody accommodates it in football. And if you want to do it, just admit it. You know what it reminds me of? If you've ever seen an interview with a porn actress, okay? And if she just embraces what she does, and she's not hurting anybody, good for her. That's what you do. That's what you do with your life. That's your business. Don't turn it into some sort of a crusade. Don't. If that's what you do, that's fine. But don't try and pass it off as something else. And the same thing in football. If you're just going to whore yourself out for the biggest stick and the biggest money, go ahead and do it. But stop pretending that, oh, it's the best. That's why it's better. Every game counts, and it's better than the NFL. It's a bunch of garbage. It's a bunch of created pretend drama. It's wrestling without the outcomes predetermined. It's just annoying as hell. And we're supposed to stand here. And if you just stand there and speak logically, as I do, then you got to put up with the crap from the people who will defend it like it's a religion. Oh, my God. You know, that's why it's worth it. Basketball. Oh, you know, every game's a big game. It's a bunch of garbage. It's a bunch of contrived crap that they put together every year and expect you to spit the pablum back at them. It's like 1984, the book, you know, Big Brother. And whatever Big Brother says, you're supposed to listen and say back to him, oh, yes, no, great, very good, Big Brother. This is spectacular. This is great. It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And we're supposed to spit this back at them. And you know, just tell it like it is then. Just tell it like it is, which is all we care about is having the biggest stick. We don't give a damn about any of the sports even. Forget about, we just care about all of our people making money and having the biggest stick in the room. And the rest of it is all window dressing. That's all it is. So we don't care if the fans get raked over the cold. If it inconveniences you, who gives a spit? We're doing what the hell we want to do because we got the biggest stick in the room. And if you're going to question us on that, we'll double down on trying to show you that it's the biggest stick in the room, but without stating that. That's not why we do it, though. We're doing it for the integrity of the game and for the love of the game and protect the guys, and we can't have a playoff and because of academics. And, oh, shut up. Just shut up, okay? I mean, you ever notice there's a shortage of high horses at this time of year because college football has taken the entire market of them, and they're all sitting on it and posturing about how wonderful their sport is about, and it, they don't care about any other sport. They don't care about anything other than collectively having the biggest stick, and also, more importantly, even relative to each other having the biggest stick. And this was a chance for Tennessee. Philip Fulmer was a bit of a legend down there to swing a bigger stick and say, "I ain't going. Screw you." I don't care about the. We hear about the. Here's the bowl tie-ins. Here are the tie-ins. Number three in this league plays number two in that league, and number one in that league plays number four in this league, and number five in that league. But makes a left turn and plays over here, unless he's in the championship league. Then he plays over there, and it all makes sense. So we've got it all worked out. Number six in that league plays number four in that league, except when number four in that league says, "Screw you, ain't coming." Then the whole thing gets thrown out the window, and we're supposed to say, "Yeah, no, makes sense." It's like an NBA playoffs. Cleveland says, "Nah, you know what? We made the playoffs this year, but we don't feel like playing Boston, so we're not going to play." And the NBA says, "All right, well, great. Then you get over with Washington." That's great. Good luck. That's fantastic. And everybody said, "Oh yes, that makes sense." We would say, "A bunch of garbage."
Well, that's because they won the head to head in the regular season with Philadelphia. That was the only way they were able to.
Yeah, no, they exactly. They won. It's just ridiculous. It's so annoying because it insults your intelligence. It absolutely does. I mean, it's just. It is just, you know, it's, I'm standing, and I'll be honest with you. Well, I can't be completely honest with you because I don't want to compromise conversations, but let's just put it this way. The pleasure about not having Mississippi State again was palpable by a good segment of the fan base. And now that they have them, we're lying if we're going to pretend you're excited about, "Oh, good, it's an SEC. It's freaking Miss-a-freaking-Sippy State again." I mean, among the most least sexy teams in that league to begin with, and we get them again. Okay? And you know what? It's unbelievable that you could just have a hissy fit. And it's they have a big stick measure. Is that how it works? All right, let's say we got so and so online too. What's the big stick? Doris, get me the files. Let's go say, "Oh man, he's got the bigger stick than the five people on the phone call. This guy's got the bigger stick. Let's pick up the phone, take whatever he tells us to do, and then spin it as if it makes perfect sense." Okay, why? Biggest stick. The big stick theory. And then it's just Stop being a robot and think for yourselves. Who does this make sense to? I mean, the people who say, "Well, I don't, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not a big fan of going to eight teams." Okay, fine, don't go to eight teams. Tell me how in any, if I put you in charge, what Mr. Miss Listener, whoever you are, at your work, and they said, "Let's get a championship system that's going to make sense to the people." And you say, "Okay, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to anoint five leagues as the most powerful leagues." Okay, good so far. I like that. All right, and then what are we going to do? "We're only going to allow four of them to play for the championship." Wait a minute, how's that work? "We're just going to leave one out." Why? Well, you just feel like it. So we got five leagues that you've anointed as the powerful leagues, but you're not going to allow at least one representative from each league. That's exactly right. Excuse me. Yes, Johnson? Do you see any other sport in any land on this planet that does that? No. But we're college football, and what we do is predicated on the big stick theory. And we've got a bigger stick, so they can all go screw themselves. Yes, anything else? Okay. All right, so what you're saying is, let's get this straight. So now we have five leagues that we've anointed as the best leagues, but we're not taking one team from every league. Right, okay, so we got the four champions. Oh, let me stop you right there. We're not necessarily taking the league champions. We're not taking the champions. No. So we're going to play a championship game. That's right. But then that guy isn't going. That's correct. I'd like to offer again, is there any other league that does this? Oh, that's twice, Johnson. I'm warning you. They don't have big sticks. We've got the big stick, so we'll do this. All right, so let me get this straight. Now, we got five leagues, right? We're only taking four teams, correct? And they're not one from every one of those five leagues because one can't get in. Uh-huh. And we're not taking the four champions. Yep. Some leagues, were, in fact, we're going to take two from. Oh, so we've only got four out of five in, and yet some leagues we're going to take two from. Yep. I'd like to ask about that, but I've already got two strikes against me. Johnson, I'm warning you, stop being logical. Didn't you get the memo? This is the college football. We have the biggest stick meeting. Okay? This is how we roll. All right. Well, so I got this straight now. But when we go out there, can I at least just tell people that we're doing it just because it makes the most money for us? Silence in the room. Can we do that? Dead silence in the room. Can I tell people that we're just doing it because it's the way for us to make the most money? Dead silence in the room.
Door bursts open. Security comes in. They take Johnson out by the armpits, lift him out, throw him out the window. All right. Now, are there any other questions in here about why we're doing this? Okay, so we got the story right. The selling point is it makes every game more important. It just matters more. Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. Okay. And we're determined to get the four best teams in. Okay. Excuse me. Uh-oh. I'm just very timidly asking again. How are we determining who the best teams are? The way we're determining the best teams is we're going to anoint them in August. Before anybody takes a snap, that's right. Mm-hmm. And what are we going to do? We're going to have polls. And then we're going to make sure that the teams that are not on our anointed list have to be about three games better than the teams that are on our anointed list. Okay? So we've decided for next year already, don't let this get out. Here's the seven teams we're allowing to be in the playoffs. There will be four of these seven. Excuse me, I happen to notice this one team down here at number 12 has everybody back, and they could be really good. Silence. They might be undefeated. Silence. They could be in the playoffs. Silence. Security, here they come again. When you throw them out the window, try not to hit Johnson. I think he's still breathing. Okay? And then that's how we're supposed to do business. And then, yeah, hello? Yeah, the Dr. Pepper guy's on line four. He wants to know, can he expand the playoff to eight? Hang up on him, too. I don't think any of us would understand an 18 playoff.
He's the only one that could do it.
Doesn't make any. I don't know how they'd come up with eight. How would he do that? What do you have? One team would want to play in three games, and one team would play no games. 18 seems way more confusing. Sir, basketball has 60. What? What did you say? I didn't say anything. Did you mention college basketball? I didn't say anything. You mentioned another. I didn't say. I swear I didn't say anything. We are the Big Stick Society. That's what we do. We do nonsensical things and insist that everybody who follows us spit the nonsense back to us enthusiastically. Get our broadcast partners on the line. Make sure they're on board with this. Oh, they are. Trust me. We talked to them about it. We're on it. Okay. Now we got it straight. Phil Fulmer's on line one. Oh, crap. What? Yes, Phil, what can we do? What? Well, we can try that. I don't know. I'm not sure your stick is that big. What does he want? He wants to play with 14 guys. He thinks he's got some freshmen he wants to give him some bowl experience to, and they haven't played much. So he wants to know if can he go 14 on each side. Well, how big is his stick? It's pretty big, but, I mean, we did rearrange the entire damn bowl schedule for this guy. So we took away two great matchups, made two mediocre matchups just to accommodate him. But I don't know. 14 seems like a lot. Tell him we'll give him 13, 14 only on special teams. Got it done. Phil, here's this. Yeah, Johnson here. Listen. No, not that Johnson. He's out the window. Rick Johnson here. Yeah, listen, you can go 13 on both sides of the ball, 14 on special teams. Uh-huh. I don't know. That's going to be a hard sell also. He wants to know, can we play three halves? He really wants to get guys some experience, feels that's important to his program. Tell him we can play an overtime even if the game's not tied. That's a good compromise. Phil, yeah, listen, here's the deal. We're going to play overtime. No, if you get to go to the game's tied, it doesn't matter. In fact, we might not even keep scoring your game if that works out for you. We'll just give you a trophy because we've anointed you with the biggest stick. So good luck for you.
A stick that is 7-5.
Unbelievable. You could be 12-0. It's just, it's ridiculous. It's freaking ridiculous. We went through all this drama and look who we got in the playoffs again. It's the exact same freaking people. We left Alabama out only because they got two losses. Trust me, there'd been a way we could have snuck them in. We would. It's just ridiculous. Every freaking year we go through, who's in? I don't know. Who's in? I'll call me in August. I'll tell you of the seven, of the four teams will be in. They'll be from this list of seven. Everybody else can go spit in their hat. Minnesota, I hope you had a nice trip, but you were never going to get in somehow, some way. It's just, it's ridiculous. The whole thing is completely nonsensical. I mean, every time something goes on of significance, it makes no sense, and they expect you to spit it back. I mean, I'm sorry. I know I ranted about it last time, but the group of five, which always strikes me, frankly, as some radical student group, you know, those guys, and they get to play one of them in a New Year's bowl game. It's like, here you go. Your stick's not very big, so here's a big crumb from the table, and you better enjoy. Get excited about it. Tell all your fans we're going to a New Year's Day bowl game, where if you get in that game, I guarantee you, whoever you play, will face questions the whole week of, so you excited to play this team? They have tiny sticks. I mean, you're really excited about playing them? No. Every question will be about that. Every question will be about that.
And yet it's supposed to be some giant panacea for these people. It's not, the whole thing makes no sense. And I'm tired of pretending it does. Just because we live in a college town, it doesn't make a lick of sense. And this last episode is perfect proof of that. Just ridiculous. I mean, why don't they just do that? You know, that would probably get more ratings. That's all they care about, is get all the football people and have a stick measuring contest at the beginning of the year. And you just anoint the champions based on who's got the biggest stick. Because that's what you're doing anyway. And you know what? If the guy, if a team or a program doesn't have the biggest stick, then you can lie and make people spit it back to you as if that's... No, what we didn't say that. What we said is that, you know, it's just it's relative. It's a relative thing, and, you know, just stop. No, that program, they don't play anybody. How do you know they don't play anybody? You know, you don't let anybody play anybody else. It's just, oh, my God. It's ridiculous. To be fair, what if Fulmer really chose Jacksonville instead of Nashville? Then go on vacation. He makes enough money, go where the hell you want. Go to Jacksonville, go to Vegas, take a world tour. This is supposed to be some sense of other people involved in this. It's not you by yourself. There's commissioners and leagues and all these things, and you just say, we don't want to go there. Oh, fine, great. Well, screw that. We'll screw everybody else. That's fine. It's just ridiculous. And as I said, it's okay. Wrestling is ridiculous. But they know it's ridiculous. You know it's ridiculous when you tune in. They know it's ridiculous. They embrace ridiculousness. That's fine. Everybody's having fun. It's ridiculous. You get it? This is something that is wrestling, and they're trying to convince you it's not ridiculous. Yes, it is. Think about even the premise to the commercial. I know I point it out all the time, but that they had to get the Dr. Pepper guy to invent the playoff bracket. I mean, as if that would be some... I realize you can say, well, that's the whole comedy of the thing. It's not very complicated. But that's the whole point. Is for years they told us how complicated it was, and it turns out, of course, it's not very complicated. It simply added up to one thing. They realized that their shtick wasn't going to be able to get any bigger if they kept doing what they were doing, so they had to change the format and go to four teams, and then, all right, how are we going to do this playoff? And they come up. It's like I said, it's like finally, you know, Dad, your car's making a funny noise. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. All right, finally comes to term with, yes, it's making a funny noise. Okay. All right, so the guy comes and says, all right, here's the deal. It's coming somehow from the transmission. All right, and so you say, all right. And then the guy goes and he changes the windshield wiper fluid. You say, well, that doesn't really address what the hell we were talking about. No, but then he tells you, no, it is. Because if you can't see where you're going, really everything else doesn't make... That's why it's just better. It's just better here. It's just better because you can see where you're going. I mean, what are you talking about? It doesn't make any sense. The transmission is screwed up. All right, we asked you to come up with a championship system. You anointed five leagues as the best leagues. You can only let four of their representatives in. That's just unbelievable. I mean, just think about any other sport that would do that. Adam Silver, we're excited. We are expanding the National Basketball Association. Oh, my God, this is fantastic. But the teams in Louisville, St. Louis, Jacksonville, and Baltimore, well, you're not going to be allowed to compete for the championship. But you'll be in the NBA, though, only if I kid you. And then there's other teams that, if they're really good, we got six cities that they'll get to play one game against on New Year's Day against one of the other good teams. And that team will then have to explain to their fan base over and over how they screwed up so badly they got stuck playing you. That'll be a great for everybody. And then we'll be telling everybody how fabulous it is and expect them to spit it back to us. It's the best. It just means more. It's just better. It's just better. Yes, any questions on the size of the sticks? Yes. Can I help you? Please, stop. Unbelievable. I mean, when this happened today, I went to bed last night because I'll tell you, I went to practice yesterday. I had to interview Chris Mack for the Jimmy V because I'm not going to be able to do it in New York. So I taped it. When I left, the news was just breaking. And when I left, it was Tennessee. And I said, oh, and I swear, I even said this. I said, oh, thank God, it's not Mississippi State. I'm so sick of Mississippi State. And there were a number of people of positions of authority, that's all I'll say, who agreed wholeheartedly. Said, your fan base has had enough of Mississippi State. But Phil Fulmer basically said, bigger stick, you're playing what I tell you to play. And you'll like it. And you'll tell me how important it is and how good it is. Indiana, Kentucky, border rival, clamoring for that, screw you.
I'm playing Indiana. You'll play Virginia Tech. You'll play West Virginia Tech. You'll play the Ivy Tech if I tell you, because I've got the big stick. I got the big stick. That's how it works. And it's better. It's just better. That's why it's better. Talk about basketball and their playoff crap. What the hell? Unbelievable. It's just, and then it's fine. If you want to tell like it is, it's wrestling, where we don't know who wins. The only difference between this and wrestling is we don't know who wins. The rest of it is exactly the same. Exactly the freaking same. Just preposterous. I'll be honest with you. I know you Yale fans, you want to get mad at me, knock yourself out, but I was really looking forward to Kentucky and Indiana. I really was. I mean, that's a game that's
been awesome. That would have been a
fantastic game.
Who's the best local college football?
Would have just been, as a fan looking in from the outside, fantastic. And in Louisville to play in Nashville, great town, against Tennessee, be great.
Would have been a packed bowl. They would have filled it, those two teams.
Unbelievable. Let's play Mississippi State again. You've had enough Mississippi State because they beat your ass and everything. Good going, listener. That's the kind of insight. You got the wrong show. This show's for people with a brain bigger than a marble. Yeah, that's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
Tomerson from Big Stick Weekly, actually.
Yes, Tom, here. What can I help you?
I actually got this from a texter saying that LSU's never actually been in the college football playoff.
But they were anointed in the preseason as one of the teams that were going to be allowed in this year. Go back and look.
That's fair.
They were anointed in August. In fact, they probably got together and said, hello, yes, LSU here. You know, we've had a big stick. In past years, we had a really big stick. One time we had that Nick Sabine guy, and he had the biggest. He's got the biggest stick of all right now. Hell, he's a legendary big stick. And, you know, he coached here. And we haven't been at this party. All right, we'll include you on the list this year. But you better have a big stick.
We have a likable Cookie Monster-like coach.
He's very likable, and we promise you that we'll bring the big stick this year. All right, put him on the list. Put him on the list. Yes, anybody else? Yes, hi. We would like to be considered. Excuse me, what league are you in? We're in the America. Get out. Throw him out. Sorry, stick too small. Can't even see your damn stick. Get out. Get out of the room. Just get out. Tell your story, walking. And you know what? Maybe I can see the guy as he's going down the hall. The guy follows him to the door, sticks his head up. Maybe we'll consider you for a New Year's Day game. Maybe, perhaps. I can't promise anything because your stick is tiny. You don't bring that in here. These are the men with the big sticks. Stay out. Stay where you belong. Go to that room for the tiny sticks. Get that guy out of here. Who does he think he is? We are the Power Five, of which we can only take four. That's how it works in college football.
Speaking of big sticks, Kyle Tucker, he's going to join you on the other side.
Great. I'm so pissed off. He's such a nice fella. I'm going to yell at
Please
him.
Please don't take it out on Kyle Tucker.
No, I really
he's
should.
He's a very nice guy.
He's a nice man.
He would have joined us Friday, but he was in a car with two screaming twin toddlers. So he didn't want to do the interview with screaming twin toddlers.
Right now, maybe the toddlers would be on my side. Even the toddlers would hear this and say, "That don't make sense. That thing's stupid. That's dumb. Unbelievable." All right, let's take a break. ESPN 680 1057.
Part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
Welcome back. This is the text that the college football people want you to say, so that's fine. Winning your in, are there undefeated teams that we're not aware of? Where's the inequity? Okay, you sent that twice, and you didn't give me a chance to respond to the first one. I will respond now, because this is a self-fulfilling prophecy. This is what they do, is what I'm trying to tell you, is that defeated, undefeated, the fact of the matter is they are going to – the system is predicated on the teams they've anointed in August to play for the championship. And your premise is that it would make sense if the premise was that the only way you should be allowed in is to go undefeated. And we've proven that that's not the case. only a select number of teams are allowed to lose a game and go, which perpetuates that. So I'm not speaking, and what I'm also suggesting is by constantly not allowing these teams to compete for a championship, you never give them the opportunity to stand and say, hey, look what we did there. We can hold our own with these other teams. Basketball, you got to go play. There's 68 teams, and I got news for you. After that first weekend, everybody's playing a good team. And if you're not playing well, you can get your ass sent home. And it's got nothing to do with what league they're in or whatever. There's good teams. Football, make sure that they never give you the chance to do that. So that's the inequity we're talking about. It's preventive medicine. So, yes, you have bought into it. Good for you, sir. Enjoy your postseason. What I'm telling you is it's a bunch of malarkey. And what's amazing to me is, and I'm going to get into this with Kyle Tucker right now from The Athletic. Kyle, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to rant at you. And nor, by the way, am I ranting at Kentucky, the institution, or Louisville, the institution. It's got to do with the institution. It's got to do with conferences and the bigger picture. And the NCAA, I can't even rant at them because they don't have any say in football. Football does whatever the hell they want. They thumb their nose at the NCAA. But they take advantage of this is what I didn't even get into in the first part. If you're, you probably didn't hear the first part of the show. I was talking about, I'm a little pissed off. I really am. I'm sick of Mississippi State. And yes, could they beat Louisville? Maybe, but it's just got the fact that that's all we keep playing is Mississippi State. Certainly not one of the sexy teams in the SEC, and we keep getting the same game. And what I thought we had for a short while was Tennessee. Whether you think they're better or not, a sexier team, Tennessee in Nashville, great game. And you guys, the Kentucky that is, would have gotten Indiana, which as a fan, I thought, that's spectacular. And that when I left that and said, that is great. And then Philip Fulmer says, I have a bigger stick, and so I'll swing it and move guys around. And the whole thing gets blown up. And we're just supposed to pretend that it makes sense. And it doesn't make sense. And what irritates me is they can get away with this because the simple fact of the matter is there are great fan bases. And the Kentucky fans will show out in great numbers, and the Louisville fans will show out in great numbers, and they'll use that as, see, we told you it makes sense. It doesn't make sense. It's just that these people are so loyal, then you can count on that. You could play, you know, the University of Mars in another galaxy, and they'll find a way to get there. And it just pisses me off that illogical behavior can be explained away with things that have nothing to do with logic. I'm a little bit angry about that. Now, would you like to respond?
I can't tell. No, I think the beef is really with the indecisiveness for Tennessee. Because in terms of the process, you know, if Tennessee says from the jump, hey, look, we want to go to the Gator Bowl, then none of this back and forth happens, and we all understand what it is from the start, and that's that. And that's the way it's set up. It's set up, you know, they beat Kentucky in Lexington. They finished two games ahead of Kentucky in the SEC standings. They've got priority in choosing where they would like to go. I get that, but I think where it screwed everything up was basically them changing their mind at the 11th hour, as best anybody can tell, and then saying, no, we want to go to the Gator Bowl. And, you know, at that point, it had pretty much been decided, all these other matchups. And so there's a real domino effect from that. That part of it, I think, is what has annoyed most people. It certainly caused the most headaches. I mean, there are people, Kentucky fans, who bought tickets, non-refundable plane tickets and game tickets to the Gator Bowl because it looked like that was a done deal.
Exactly.
I will say, I thought it was a little ridiculous. I mean, figure out where you want to go. You didn't need to wait till yesterday at 2 o'clock or whatever to change your mind. Like, figure out where you want to go and go. The other piece of it for Kentucky, at least, I actually think it ended up a better deal for Kentucky because I don't like Jacksonville as a city. It's not a fun place. It's not a great destination. Just because it's in the state of Florida in the winter doesn't make it better than, like, Charlotte, North Carolina, to me, is a better city. I think the matchup is a better matchup in terms of an opportunity. Like, if you're Kentucky, you've beaten Penn State in a major bowl game last year. If you follow that up in a year where everything kind of went wrong, you lost all your stars on the front end, your two quarterbacks go down, you know, partway through the season, you still managed to get to a quality bowl game against a quality opponent like Virginia Tech with some name recognition. If you beat Virginia Tech the year after you beat Penn State, you've made a couple of statements at the end of the year against brand names that people recognize. As much as a regional, you know, draw as Kentucky-Indiana would have been, as I said on another show today, like, it's not they're not making them play a basketball game, too. I mean, so, like, I guess it's cool, Kentucky-Indiana, but it's people want to see Kentucky and Indiana playing basketball. And so there was some appeal to that, but nationally there's none. And it's just a better opportunity, I think, for Kentucky playing Virginia Tech. So I guess I'm a little bit of a contrarian to you on that point, but I absolutely get the frustration of everybody feeling like they got a little bit jerked around yesterday.
Well, I always appreciate your work. I respect your writing, and it was a logical thought, and you didn't persuade me, to be honest with you, because now it's convenient. It's a convenient pivot, because all year, quite frankly, all we hear from SEC and Kentucky fans is the ACC sucks. ACC sucks. The whole league sucks. Clemson's good. Rest of the league sucks. So how is beating Virginia Tech going to be more powerful than beating a team from a league that is regarded as a good league, the Big Ten? You can't suddenly change the storyline now. I mean, and if you like Charlotte more than Jacksonville, that's fine. That's crazy for me to argue that, but from a statement game for your league, boy, that's a whole completely different stance from, boy, the ACC is terrible. So I'll be honest, as a Texter just said, yeah. I don't think anybody nationally, quite honestly, without being rude, gives a damn about this game either way. I mean, that's just the reality, other than the people who bet on it. But you know, I understand locally, and if you're saying it makes a statement, I don't see how it makes more of a statement to play from a league where you say, well, everybody in that league's no good.
Well, I think part of it is about people's judgments about leagues in general and teams and programs are built over time. And Virginia Tech is one of the most consistent programs. Yeah, it was a program I covered for a long time before I came here. Up until 3 years ago, they had won 10 plus games, like 9 straight seasons. They've won multiple ACC titles and played in multiple Orange Bowls and Sugar Bowls and played in a national championship game. They've got some brand recognition as an individual university. I don't think a reasonable person could argue that the ACC is not down this year. It's Clemson, and then there's just not much else after Clemson, evidenced by the fact that Clemson took the Coastal Division champion, which lost to Louisville, and tore it limb from limb in the title game. It's just Clemson is far better than the rest of the league. That's not always the case. 2 years ago, that was a great league. And there'll be other years it'll be a great league. Florida State needs to be good for the league to be good. And some others need to do their part. Virginia Tech hasn't been what it was in some years past. But in terms of brand recognition, absolutely Virginia Tech still has that. And Indiana, frankly, doesn't. Is Indiana maybe the better team this year? Maybe. Than Virginia Tech? I don't know. Maybe. Is the Big Ten better than the ACC? Certainly, but I don't think from a brand perspective a win over Indiana doesn't move the needle. And maybe a win over Virginia Tech doesn't move the needle that much, but I think it does more so than IU.
Talking to Kyle Tucker from The Athletic about Kentucky and the bowl system in general, and I think your other point, by the way, though, is a good one, which is, and I'm not trying to position myself as, oh, look at this guy, he's fighting for every man, what a guy, but yeah, it does tick me off. I really do. I mean, Kentucky fans are legendary for how well they travel, and Louisville fans travel extraordinarily well also, and they will turn up in big numbers, and people will say, see, it all worked out fine, but I don't think it worked out fine. You're right. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I understand what you're saying. If the rationale is they finished ahead of Kentucky, so they should get first pick, once you've decided the deadline should be passed, and then that's it. Once you decide, it doesn't give you the right to just go back, because I know how fans think. The minute the news came out, they were making arrangements, they were making plans, yeah. And I think that's very disrespectful. And the fans, at some point, somebody should have said at that point, gee, I'm sorry you feel that way now, but you know the wheels are in motion. We've already got matchups in place, and fans have made plans, but they would never do that because it's football, and football does whatever the hell it wants. I'm sorry. That's how I feel about football. And it really irritates me. I think fans get it in the shorts a lot.
Yeah, we're definitely on the same page about, I think you got to set an earlier deadline for these schools to say, you make your case now, put your case down on paper for us. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Right.
We'll consider it and move on. Like, you know, put your preferences down now and let's move on. You don't get to come in at the 11th hour and change it because of things like this. Also, lesson for everybody, just wait till the bowls are announced before you start booking your flights.
Yeah,
because now we know this is possible. And you know, it was kind of an egg on the face day for some folks who sort of make a living trying to predict, but beat the official announcement to the punch and scoop, you know, these bowl matchups, which, I mean, more power to them. But I tell you what, I cannot think of a more miserable choice for my life than to sit around trying to scoop bowl announcements by a matter of minutes just to say I had them before they were official.
I don't think...
That went ugly. That went ugly a little bit yesterday. There were several that were wrong.
Yes. Well, yes. And I mean, I understand why they got it wrong, but it doesn't make it any less wrong. The texter, talking to Kyle Tucker from The Athletic here, I don't think coaches think this way, but maybe they do. The texter says, a loss to Indiana would be more detrimental to Kentucky than losing to Virginia Tech. Does that factor into the thought that, hey, you know, coaches do look at this. They don't want to lose things in a bowl game. Sometimes you feel like there's not much you can gain, but you certainly don't want something that's going to work against your program. Is there merit to that or not?
I think there could be. And I mean, that may have been a factor on Phil Fulmer's end. Like, does Phil Fulmer think he can more easily beat Louisville or beat Indiana? I don't know. You know, I think maybe once you see who the matchups are, you weigh that as well. I mean, Kentucky didn't have a choice here. It's pretty clear to me now that Kentucky had no – they were powerless in this. They were going to go where they were going to go. And I think to Mitch Barnhart's credit, he basically said that yesterday. When you're 7-5, you've got to get what you get. And, you know, if Kentucky wanted to go to the Gator Bowl or a better bowl or have earlier pick in the draft, as it were, for bowl games – get a yard and beat Tennessee at home. That's the game they should have won, and they didn't. You know, and there's been a lot of years they should have beat Tennessee and didn't. So, from that perspective, I don't have a great deal of sympathy for Kentucky in general as an entity. You know, beat Tennessee, and they're not pushing you around in bowl selection.
I guess they don't have the big stick in football. That's for sure. That's the big problem. So football's all about the biggest stick in the room. That's what rules the roost. Talking to Kyle Tucker.
Are you mad at football? I can't.
No, I'm so fed up with football and I don't mind the absurdity of it. I really don't. It's like I said this on the show before. It's like wrestling. Wrestling is absurd, but you know it's absurd. They know you know it's absurd, and they embrace the absurdity, and that's fine. And then everybody gets along great. Football is absurd. And tries at every turn to tell you, oh, it's just better. It just means more. It's just more logical. It's better than basketball. The games mean more in September. All this illogical stuff is shoved up your nose as if it's better. It's not better. It's wrestling, but we don't know who wins the games. That's the only difference between this and wrestling, is where they haven't decided who actually wins. But they try in the preseason. They pretty much make a list of, you know, the 6 or 7 teams they'll allow to get in the playoffs, so certainly you're going to give a head start to the playoffs, but the rest of it, you know, is wrestling. But you're not allowed to say that. You have to sing the praises. Oh, it's just better. It just means more. It's better. No, it's not. It's stupid. Any system that tells you up front we have 5 leagues that we've anointed as the most important leagues and we've put a championship together where we cannot in any given year have at least one team from all those leagues makes no sense. It's like baseball saying we're going to have baseball, we're not allowing anybody from the National League East to play. That's it. They can't play, but they're in the major leagues. What the hell are you talking about? We correctly would say, that's stupid. Yes, this is stupid. And it's another example. And so that's how I feel about it. And I don't mind it being stupid as long as they said, we are college football. We have the biggest sticks. We don't care about any of the other sports. We don't care about anything. We're driving the bus. We own the bus line and we're taking tolls from all the other sports and we are going to do whatever we want. That's how it works. And then just if they said that, I'd say, now I can get on board with that, folks. Now tell me what crap you're throwing on my dish and I'll adjust to it. But this idea that there's some master plan in place, I mean, and don't get me started on the Power 5 teams who get the crumb thrown from the table, and they're supposed to be – I just visualize them all lined up around the table like your dog when you haven't fed him in a few hours. You know, it's just – maybe there'll be a little piece of ham that'll fall over the side. Yes. And, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Anyway, let's
good
move.
Thing, good thing you and I are basketball people, right?
That's why I said – so let's get to basketball because Kentucky beats a Fairleigh Dickinson team that's, you know, was – good last year for their level, and they're rebuilding this year, so you can't take much away from that. But there's enough games in the book now you can take some things away from this Kentucky team. And the one thing I think that is a legitimate question is, Will they be able to put a string of games together, shooting it well enough from the perimeter to make a deep March run? Or can you say, well, they'll do it without that? I don't know. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's a little bit of both. I don't think at any point there's going to be a team that's jacking a bunch of threes and making a ton in a game, even when they're shooting it well. It's just not what Calipari wants to be. And he's made it clear that, you know, he doesn't want to rely on that, and it drives people crazy. And people say, you know, you're not adapting with the times. College basketball is about the 3-point shot, or basketball in general is about the 3-point shot. That's the evolution of the game. And I've been a little bit critical of that myself. That he needs to modernize to an extent. But I'm with him on this point, and that is everything he does is building towards March. And in March, everything changes. And people might be playing wide open all year, but everybody puckers up when it comes to the NCAA tournament, when every possession matters. You know, possessions are down, the games slow down. The style is the toughest team wins. You know, the team with the toughest guards, the team that's going to rebound and defend, the team that can win without making threes, you know, is often going to win in that scenario. And he talks a lot about when everybody else has as much to lose as we do, because, you know, so many times, you know, lesser teams or underdog teams play Kentucky and they just let it fly. They let it rip because there's nothing, what is there to lose? But in the NCAA tournament, that changes. And so I think the way that he builds his teams, even when they aren't great shooting teams, is sort of built with an eye on the way the game changes in the postseason. And it does in college basketball. And so, I think they've got enough shooting. It hasn't really emerged yet, but you know, I think Maxey's going to make shots. He's been on a little bit of a cold streak here lately. I mean, but we've seen him. You know, we've seen him in a huge moment against a good team. Although we're increasingly not sure how good Michigan State is, but
right
in Madison Square Garden on opening night as a freshman to do what he did, you know that he's got it in him to make big shots. And I think Emmanuel Quickley is going to be a reliable 3-point shooter, and the one guy, Johnny Juzang, who's getting more and more playing time. The shots still haven't started to fall, but he's got the purest shot on the team, and he's a guy who was a terrific 3-point shooter in high school, and he's one of those kids that it feels like once a few start to go down and he gets a little more playing time, he'll get in a little more rhythm and some shots will drop. I think they'll make enough. I don't think this team's going to morph into a great shooting team, but look at the one thing I keep pointing to is look at the free throw shooting. This is the best free throw shooting team Calipari's ever had. Among power conference teams, they are number one in the country in free throw shooting. I think 12th overall, but among teams in power conferences, they are number one in the country, shooting 80% from the free throw line. They've got Ashton Hagans, who's made, I think, like 35 of his last 37. At one point made 22 in a row. Emmanuel Quickley shooting over 90%. Tyrese Maxey shooting 87%, I think. Even the 7-footer Nick Richards is like 77% from the free throw line. And so, one, that's huge. They're getting a ton of their points at the free throw line, and they make their free throws. That's big in March. But also, free throw shooting can be an indicator. And you very rarely are you a great free throw shooting team or a horrendous 3-point shooting team. And so, I think it'll all balance itself out over the course of the season, and they'll be good enough from three.
Hey, Kyle, it's good to catch up with you. I'll see you at some of the upcoming games. Thanks so much for the time. Continued success with The Athletic. We'll see you down the road.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, Kyle Tucker with us here on The V-Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7. We'll take a short break. Chris Mack doing something?
No presser today, but Sully will join us on the other side for his weekly visit.
No presser today?
No presser. So I suggest we do Sully, and then we get our – this is Monday. We get our V-Snakes in after Sully, because you are probably going to have to leave.
Yeah. No, I have to leave.
You have to leave.
The plane is not going to wait for me.
When do you have to leave?
I have to be out of the studio at 2:30.
At 2:30?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
So, Eastern, 1:30 Central.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll take a break. Top of the hour, we'll tell you who we are, where we are, do all the stuff, and continue talking. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to – when we come back – we're going to play nothing but the sound of a guy turning on and off a light for 7 minutes. And then we're going to tell you that's better than anybody else doing radio, and expect you to spit that back at us, because we are going to take the college football biggest stick in the room approach. jizz.
So that must mean
spit pablum out at you and tell you to spit crap at you and have you tell us back. That is some good oatmeal.
And in order to do that,
mm-hmm.
it means our sticks are huge.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.